Previously, on the Adventure Zone Ethersea,
you see the Coriolis, and it is upside down, and the cargo bay has, like, fully flooded. You see Jimbo Clyde standing next to the bull-headed hunter with the axe. This jungle-like compartment is starting to fill up with water. Miss Green, you will need to move, or we will have to move you.
Well, I got a great hunt planned for you. It's the most dangerous game. Me! And then I run away with the auroch.
You help get these animals that you don't care about off the stations that you don't care about. And the next time we have the opportunity to destroy one of your enterprises, we'll let that one slide.
The ecology of this planet has been completely obliterated. Devo, there's a better world waiting for us.
Do you know how it got to be like that? Because of assholes like you who focused on better and the next thing.
Moments later, you hear the sound of branches snapping, and then Devo comes crashing in through the ceiling, thudding to the floor with a terrible thunk.
And swimming at you, its many rows of teeth bared, is another blink shark.
He can't speak with animals.
It swims towards you and very gently closes its jaws around you and blinks, and you both disappear.
It is I, Captain Vegetable, with my carrots and my celery.
Oh my gosh.
Eating crunchy vegetables is good for me.
Yeah.
Good for you, so eat them.
Keep going.
Are you being held at knife point?
I'm being held at fucking flavor point by this carrot.
Crunch twice if you are in danger.
How do I crunch three times from my body's got all the C that it needs from this incredible carrot?
Now, yeah. I seem to remember that the rest of Cabin Vegetable is him going to kids who like spaghetti and stuff, and then being like, I only eat vegetables. And then the kid being like, that's not a great idea, Captain Vegetable. You shouldn't just eat vegetables.
And yeah, That was Betty who loves spaghetti.
No, I'm sorry, Daddy. That was Eddie who loves
Eddie.
Spaghetti.
I have no idea.
I love spaghetti. Hey, okay, guys, we need to get to, let's focus up.
You're going to crunch.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I want to focus up on the incredible power of carrots. Nutritious? You bet.
Yeah.
Here comes the crunch.
I just feel like this is the thing, guys. My brand is obviously in fucking utter disarray at all times.
Right.
Even on Taz, like, I've made, like, I talked a lot about, like, French onion soup and a lot of, like, I just want to be a good role model. And I feel like kids look up to Ambergris, they look up to Taco, they look up to to all my great characters, and like I feel like they should be like good role models. I don't think that's like wild.
Yeah, and we've all been waiting for you to like choose your cause, and I think beta carotene deficiency is a noble one. Okay, hey Devo and Amber, go ahead and roll for initiative, please.
Wow, just jumping right into it carrots.
I wouldn't say that's jumping right into it.
No, talking about vegetables.
You spent about 2 minutes singing a song referencing something I don't know, which is rare that there's like a cultural reference that you three pull that I don't. But I was like having a fever dream.
Really?
Were you loving it? It's a Sesame Street thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, he didn't watch Sesame Street. That was...
I don't know. He's still around.
Griffin just, wait, Dad, are you saying Griffin just didn't watch Sesame Street?
No, he didn't watch Sesame Street.
No, I was more of an Allegra's Window Eureka's Castle.
The Allegra.
They brought back Captain Vegetable as played by John Leguizamo. True story.
I do like that. If I could get that initiative role.
Sorry. This is
that
rude.
Would be so choice.
I am being rude. Hey, let me be the first to say that I am the one responsible. That's a 20.
Got it.
Mine was a 12.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad that I got a very high initiative roll because I'm very dialed into what's been happening and I'm ready to make the first move.
Well, here, to paint the picture with a nat 20 initiative roll, you are facing off against these two hunters. You have Clyde, who is holding this big harpoon gun crossbow trying to finish off this wounded polar bear in this little hutch that you all find yourselves in. It's muddy. It's at an increasingly rakish angle inside of here. You got some scared, trapped animals. You got a surly serval. You got a couple of ostrich-looking dealies. You got the wounded polar bear, and you got a couple of aurochs, one of which you are... I don't know if you're still Are you still astride it?
I'm really torn because I feel like Amber the person would stay on the auroch. No, okay, you know what? I've just rethought it. She's not going to be able to do much from up here.
Okay.
So she's got to dismount.
Okay, so you are not on the auroch. That's not your a component of your turn. So that's the scene, and then you just hear like, Sacre bleu!
It would have been suit to lore, Griffin.
That's fine. As Devo just comes crashing down and making a Devo-shaped imprint in the mud. Devo, actually, you're going to take a little bit of fall damage. Yeah, you're going to take 10 points of crushing damage as you fall down into this thing. It should have been more, but the branches, you know, broke your fall. But not completely. With a nat 20 initiative roll, doesn't faze you. This plummeting Frenchman into your zone here. And now you have two angry-looking hunters and some angry-looking animals. What do you do?
If I were to, like, what is my immediate impression of the state of the animals currently?
The polar bear's in bad shape.
Yes.
The polar bear has been recently harpooned and is sort of, like, struggling to stay on its feet. Most of the animals are kind of cowered in the corner. The serval is sort of, like, striking a defensive pose in front of the ostriches and the other auroch, while the auroch you are riding is sort of, like, standing at your side. Your trusty steed at this point.
Who loves carrots.
Probably.
And there's Bull... do we know the Bullman's name?
You do not, but we can call him Bullman.
Yeah, I'm gonna take this opportunity to try to...
You also have a harpoon.
Yes. Are they... okay, last question before I act.
Yeah.
How threatening are they? Are they like, I mean, obviously they're a little surprised from the turn of events, but like, do I get the vibe that because we roll initiative, like we are going to fight?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah. I mean, Clyde has been the more cool headed of the two of them, but he just got gored and now he's mad. Intended, seeing red.
All right, I'm going to try to bury the harpoon in Bullman's throat.
Wow, okay.
Does he have an exposed? I figured he was exposed.
Yeah, I mean, that's not usually, I think, a D&D consideration is, like, throat meat vulnerability.
It should be, though. Hey, yeah, version be. 6, huh? You
version
listening?
6. Target whatever meat you want to target.
Justin activates his VAT system.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is basically a sharp quarter staff, so we can say that you are proficient in this weapon. So roll a D20 roll with wait, what weapons do you have? Do you have the quarter staff in your? You
in
don't
the, like, the list? No, I don't. I just have my.
I mean, you can equip
strikes.
It.
Really? Okay. Oh, it's so cool.
It is very cool.
It's really cool. Okay. I want to do an attack with this, and I got a 19.
Yeah,
20, that plus will, 5, 24.
That will hit. Roll that 1d8 plus 2 damage, since I'm assuming you're using both hands with this.
5 damage.
Okay. Are you throwing it or jabbing it?
Jabbing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean that's a good hit. It glances off of his meaty neck, but you definitely hear some the sound of success as he roars gutturally and takes a step back. Anything else you want to do? You didn't really move. Oh, and also, you have so many things. I forgot you are a monk. So you have an extra attack, and you can make an unarmed strike now as part of your first attack.
You know what? What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to use a bonus action to pop out my arms, because he's close to me, so he'll have to...
They'll both have to. I mean, they're both within distance of the effect arms. There.
Yes. So.
That is, they have to make a dex saving throw.
Yes, correct.
Force damage. Okay, this one's for the bull. That's probably going to save. Versus DC 14. Yeah, that just saves. This one's for Clyde.
That was a 15, by the way.
Yep, Clyde saves as well. They both take a step back, like, whoa, cool. But they are not blown away by the force of your arms arriving.
Okay. And I think that's all I can do because
Well, as when you take an attack action, you get to take two attacks. So you still have one attack pending.
Well, it said flurry of blows or?
No, extra attack. You can attack twice instead of once whenever you take the attack action on your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to stab him again.
Okay.
Well, this time it's a 12.
That is not sufficient.
Yeah,
That time you try to stab him in the exact wound that you got him in last time, and he sidesteps it like, really? Okay, and are you moving?
You've brought that up twice now.
It's just part of the turn. I'm not suggesting you're not standing on a landmine.
No, I want to stay.
Justin, you are on a landmine.
Oh no!
I want to stay near my Auroch.
Okay. Cool. Well, next up in the order,
Roxy, by the way.
Roxy, cool. Next up in the order is the barbarian, who is going to take a step forward and with blood dripping out of his mask, he is going to rear his great axe way up high in the air and swing it down at you. That is a crit failure.
He farts when he does it.
a toot does come out, and then he looks kind of like sheepish, like, oh, did I do that?
And he misses a turn.
He is going to, continuing his motion of this great axe strike, he is going to step forward into the middle of this hutch toward the rest of the animals in the back of the room. You do get to make a attack of opportunity against him.
Is this just a regular attack?
Yeah. I mean, you can use whatever weapon you want.
7. Ah, bummer.
No, you just miss him as he does his sort of Elden Ring dodge roll into the room. Next up in the order is Devo. Devo, is you come to your senses and things are not great. You are, like, buried in the mud up to your ears. Face down. You have splattered down into the mud, and it will take your move action just to rise from your grave.
I do that, yeah. I'm gonna stand up.
So
I am clearly hurt. Right. What is the state of the aminals and Amber?
The only one that is, like, in real... Amber's fine. Amber's topped off.
Okay.
The polar bear is breathing real slow. And looking really rough. The rest of the animals are in various states of malnutrition, but they're otherwise okay.
How close am I to the polar bear? A question I, Travis McElroy, have never said that calmly before.
I mean, this is a fairly intimate little battleground here, so you're pretty close to it, maybe within 10 feet.
Okay, but I can't, like, touch it from where I'm standing.
No, okay. Not from where you're standing.
Let's see. What can I do? As I've fallen in, are there any sticks nearby? Something I can pick up as a weapon?
Are there sticks nearby that you can pick up as a weapon? I mean, give me a perception check.
It's not hard to see.
Just sticks. Fucking answer him. Are there sticks or not?
It's not hard to see sticks, Griffin. It's a 15.
Just tell him there's sticks there.
It's yeah, not like sticks. I ever, Travis McRae, have been in the middle of a wooded area and like time to really focus and see if I can see a fucking stick on the ground.
Yeah, there's a stick on the ground. It's a short stick. I'm going to say it's like a short club.
Okay, I pick it up.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw it at Clyde.
Okay. I don't know if a club.
I have a boomerang, you see.
Okay.
A boomerang is like a curved stick, Griffin, when you think about it.
Yeah, you can throw this stick at him. It's going to be 1d4 damage. I don't know what your boomerang's at.
1d4 damage. That's a nat 20, perfect. Though, baby.
Wow, okay.
Nice.
So check this. 2d4.
Yeah.
Plus 1.
I do that. Hold on. So that's 5 points of damage. And as it hits him, oh, fuck, it really fucks with his brain that I hit him so hard. Because that's Psychic Blades, baby.
Okay.
Ooh.
Remind me, Psychic Blades?
3d6 when you hit someone with a weapon attack. It takes one of your bardic inspirations to do so.
Do they roll a save?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it just adds another 6 to there. So that's 11 total. That I thwacked him with good.
Yeah, okay, so you throw a stick at this dude, and for a second, like, he regains his composure, and he's like, did you just hit me with a stick? Ah! As he has a sort of, like, full-blown panty over these psychic blades.
I like the idea that the damage is caused by him being so upset that someone hit him with a stick. Like,
uh-huh. No, I'm serious!
I've never been hit by a stick before. This changes everything I've ever thought about myself.
This is freaking me out! It's just a stick!
My entire self-image is being undermined. I've always been Clyde, the man who can't be hit by sticks. What am I now?
What are you, are you doing anything else? You still got your bonus action, I think?
I don't think I have any bonus actions I could choose. Oh, no, you know what? I totally can. I am going to say, like, Amber, you're not alone in this. I've got you. Let's fucking, they seem bad, right? So let's kill them, get the animals,
yeah, they're the
get
worst.
Out.
They're the yeah? worst.
Let's Ugh. Fucking do this, and use Bardic Inspiration.
Bullman especially, ugh.
Okay.
Okay, you have Bardic Inspiration that you can add to any ability, check, attack, roll, or saving throw. That's a 1d8 now, so that's beefy.
And just as a reminder, you can use it after the dice is rolled, but before Griffin has told you if it works or not.
Yeah.
So you don't have to decide if you want to use it before you roll.
But you got to go quick because I'm quick on the draw.
That's true.
If I see an 11, I'm like, nope. I come at it really fast. Okay, next up is is Clyde. Clyde cocks his crossbow thing that he's using, and it seems to like widen a little bit, and he puts another harpoon in it. So there are two harpoons in this that he's going to fire both at the same time at Devo, who just threw a stick at him and scared his brain. The first shot is, oh, wow, an 8.
Nope, that's a miss.
Nope. Second shot is, 20.
Yeah, 20. Now that is a hit.
Okay. And that's going to hit you for 9 or 11 points of
Sheesh.
Damage.
Okay.
And I need you to make a DC 12 Constitution saving throw.
A DC 12 Constitution saving throw. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. That is a 19 plus 1, a dirty 20.
That is sufficient. You are, you feel poison, but then you flex. And you're like, get out of me,
poison. Get out of here, poison.
And the poison gooshes out and doesn't stay in your body.
Nope. Nope. Do it again.
Yeah, it comes right out poison, my pores because I detoxified Justin.
The poison jizzes out? I don't know what you want me to say. The salvo of the harpoons that have just flown by him has very much upset the Auroch that you were standing next to, Amber, and he is going to charge at Clyde. And he is going to attempt to gore it. Yeah, that's a 24 versus AC, and he is going to smash into him for, good Christ, 19 points of piercing damage.
You're going to kill your own boy.
Yeah, that was very close to max damage. Clyde goes flying. Clyde is down on his tuchus, The Auroch comes to a stop sort of outside of this clearing now, sort of blocking off exit from the two baddies. We'll take a break from that combat real quick to check in on Zooks. Zooks, hello, hi, welcome back.
Hey!
You, when you finish this blink, which is, you used the blink bay, right, in the last adventure? It feels basically exactly like that. It is loud and instantaneous, and when you arrive at your destination, you see the blink shark that teleported you kind of swim away a distance. And this blink shark has two other associates here in this space, and they are the only points of light in this chamber. It is pitch black in here, save for these three green faint lights. So just using that faint green light, you can look around and see that this chamber you're in is very unnatural. It's submerged. It's all underwater. And it's made of this, like, ridged obsidian-like material with these little nooks and crannies all over the place. Give me a nature check for me.
That would be 13.
Yeah, this is a nest. Like, you have said there, it looks similar to you know sea creatures, and you feel pretty confident that these things are not natural sort of sea creatures like anything you've ever seen before. But this is a nest, and it's huge, but it's like almost totally empty. It's far too large for these three creatures that seem to reside in it. You also notice two other sort of points of interest in the middle of the room. There's just like sand all over the floor, and there are two kind of like squat, black cage-looking objects, both of which are covering dead blink sharks. The first of which is considerably larger than the other one, and it looks like it's had its like jaw ripped open. And the other, smaller corpse is completely charred on one side. Both of them are lifeless. These are essentially makeshift graves. And the three sharks seem to confer for a minute, and the one that blinked you swims up and gestures towards you. And you hear that weird translation again as this, like, almost like alien language tries to become, like, syntax that you can follow. And you hear its voice say, "This one made of colorful sticks did understand me. This is very good."
It is good. Do you have a name? Do you have a designation?
The one that blinked you looks back to the other two, and they kind of shake their head, and they say, "That was nonsense garbage words. We understand not them. We are very dangerous animals, but not now to you, yes?"
You are not dangerous to me because you could have, like, you could have bitten me in half even some other fraction.
There is an understanding.
Why did you bring me here?
The blink shark that bit you looks back at the other two, who nod again, and it turns back and says, "We have a favor job that you will be doing to escape eating from us. Acknowledgement?"
Yes.
Why is this making me so happy? Just hearing Griffin say that in such confidence is like triggering my ASMR, I think.
Okay.
Worse. Thank you.
Can I do to help you?
And there it goes.
I like it.
It's done now.
I think it's great.
Whatever you would like me to do, I need to get back to my friends.
they're the worst. Sorry, I'm not here.
All right.
The blink shark you've been talking to nods and says, oh, yes, yes. You will kill four-armed woman person until her death. Agreement?
Oh, no. No. I can't do that. No. Four-arm... What'd you call her?
Four-arm woman person.
Yes.
That's extremely bad.
Well, she's my friend.
You bring death to many shark lives?
Me? No, I have never
killed
a shark.
Not very good. Not very good. The other two in a chorus. Not very good.
I see. Is there any other... she didn't do that to those two sharks, did she?
Yes, she did do this to these two sharks. Family. Only one's left. Now three. Not very many.
There are only three sharks left of your whole race?
In this world. Yes, three sharks. Only. Makes sad.
I tell you what.
Makes sad.
If I will give her a stern talking to. I'm sure that she doesn't know that you're almost extinct. Mm. Or else, I'm sure she wouldn't, kill any more of you. You know, it's kind of a nature versus nurture thing. I think she's changed. I don't think she... No, I'm not going to kill my friend. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Fine.
I just blew up a ship and killed a whole bunch of people. I have killed a lot more people than you have. So maybe you should be doing me a favor thing, a gift favor, of whatever you said, job favor, favor job.
Roll an intimidation check. You intimidating bundle of sticks.
12.
They bear rows of teeth that seem to be shifting and moving and growing and shrinking. And it is a terrifying sight. They do not see the, despite the sort of chillness of the voices that is being like that are being translated for you. You immediately understand that their tone does not necessarily match their demeanor in this moment. It's just a sort of trick of the spell that you have woven.
Sure. Yeah.
They say, "We can eat you. You travel with four-arm woman person on Iron Whale. This is awful thing. Why friend with four-arm woman person?"
Well, she has saved my life on numerous occasions.
But with her many arms, she rips sun from sky and boils all the water. Misbehavior.
Are we talking about the same person?
How many four-arm woman person you know? The others do get a giggle out of that, and then they go immediately into shark face mode again.
Okay. We could have a conversation about this. I don't think
so. You're open to it. Excellent. Sorry, I'm not there.
I'm not open to it.
All I know is that if Devo was there, he'd be kicking himself for not ever teaching Zugs how to lie.
All right, let's jump back to the combat.
Max Fun Drive 2022 starts in just 1 week.
Monday, April 25th.
We'll have exclusive Max Fun Drive gifts, awesome episodes, bonus content, and you know what else? You'll just have to tune in.
We have some tricks up our sleeve. Sleeves? Tricks? Is it plural?
We'll catch you next week, the greatest time to support the podcasts you love. Max Fun Drive starts on Monday, April 25th.
Don't miss it.
If you're sick of constantly arguing with the people closest to you about topics that really aren't going to change the world, we're here to take that stress off of your shoulders. We take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal.
That's right, Hal. If you have a subjective question that you want answered objectively once and for all time for all of the people of the world, questions like, who's the best Disney villain, Mac or PC? Or should you put ketchup on a hot dog? That's why we're here.
Yes, I get that these are the biggest questions of our time. And we're often joined by special guests like Nathan Fillion, Orlando Jones, and Paget Brewster. So let Mark and Hal take care of it for you on We Got This with Mark and Hal, weekly on Maximum Fun.
back to the top of the order. It is Amber.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, wait.
So, what's my scene? So,
Griffin, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
So none of the other animals are doing anything?
No.
Okay.
No, I have initiative order with all the animals on it, but they are, they've had a rough go of it. They're cowering in fear.
Got it.
Aside from the serval, who seems to have, is maintaining a perimeter.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure.
Just sort of for spatial help sake, Clyde has been knocked on his tuchus near the door out of here. The Auroch charged sort of through him to get there. The bull-faced dude is in the middle of the room, now sort of threatening the animals at the rear of the chamber. And Devo is... I mean, he's also threatening Devo. He's very close to where Devo is.
Is there a fire here?
Is there a fire here?
Where's the light?
The light is, there's artificial lighting outside in the like artificial jungle where you are in. So it's like coming into this room in beams through like the branches and the sort of twisting mangrove.
All right. I guess that makes more sense than an open flame in your indoor pretend jungle.
Right.
I'm going to really wail on Bullman. I really hate his guts. Okay. I don't know why. I'm going to punch him in the face repeatedly.
Yeah. Number the punches. There's going to be a lot of punches, right? Because now you have all your...
I got all my biz.
You're right. Okay.
Let's just start hitting him. Hold on.
All right.
That's a natural 20.
Holy shit. Nice.
God, that one hurt, huh? Shit.
All right.
Don't go too quick.
Okay, so 2d6 plus 3.
All right, that's 8.
You used the plus 2. I think it's you can use your wisdom modifier also, which is higher, which would be a plus 3.
Okay, I'm gonna call it 9.
Yeah, I mean, he turns back to you as you say shit, and then you clock him right in the grill, he takes it like a champ.
Wow. You don't mind getting punched, huh? Well, hold on. I don't want to rush to judgment. Let's see. 10 plus 5, 15.
Yeah, that's a hit.
That's just 1. Plus 2, 3.
Again, do you see where it's...
4.
Okay. Again, you punch him right in the face, and he... reels back and then just kind of turns to you, and he actually snorts. You see some like steam shoot out of his nostrils through his mask as he just kind of like snorts almost
in
laughter.
That's a mask. How did he do that?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to do a flurry of blows. Which
okay.
Just more punches.
How many punches?
2 more punches.
Okay.
10 plus 6.
Yep. Is a hit. On the first of the two arm punches.
4.
Yep.
25. Wow.
Fucking hell.
Heck yeah. And then that's getting bad damage rolls. That's another 4.
Okay.
Wait, 4 on a max damage. Wasn't that another nat 20?
No, it was 19.
It was a 19 plus 5.
Okay, so 8 more damage. This time he reels back, and it takes him a while to kind of turn his head back toward you. And he's trying to do it like slow, cool Terminator style, but like this dude's bloodied and not having a very good time of it.
All right.
Is that
a monk? Is that what?
I don't even think you've used your bonus action yet.
Yeah, when you the bonus action was Flurry of Blows.
No, Flurry of Blows,
It's you spend 1 key point to make 2 unarmed strikes as a bonus action.
Oh, okay. Cool. I didn't see that bottom part. Okay. And that's it.
Hey, I have a quick question.
Yeah, please.
I have the ability to deflect missiles, right?
Sure.
It says you can use your reaction. How does that work? Like,
so every turn in every like player turn has 4 actions. There's the action, which is usually attack or spell. There's bonus action. There's move action, and then your reaction, which you actually spend not on your turn.
Okay.
So on the last turn, when you did an attack of opportunity, that was your reaction. So you couldn't have done that and deflected missiles in the same like round.
I feel like I'm learning new things every day. Thank you, Griffin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Monk's got some like technical like meat to it more than I think any like most of the classes we've played. So, okay. Next up is that bull. I think that bull is going to come at you now. You see that steam come out again, and it is almost like comical, like cartoonish, the steam pouring out of this thing's mask. It is going to go reckless. He swings his great axe at you, and he has advantage on it, which is good, because that's a critical failure. And the next attack
looks good for him. It's not good for us.
21.
Yeah, man, obviously that hits.
And that's going to be 8 points of slashing damage. One thing about Reckless is at the start of its turn, the Berserker gains advantage on all melee attack rolls during that turn, but attack rolls against it have advantage until the start of his next turn. So
he has
opened himself up to be attacked.
He's freaking out in this idiot.
And next up is Devo.
Devo is going to, as best he can, approach the polar bear. I hope at this point the polar bear's like, this guy attacked guy with harpoon, and guy with harpoon hit him too. So enemy of my enemy. This guy's my friend, right? Me and the polar bear are cool.
Yes, but it is also a wild and wounded animal. I'm going to say, using that logic, I will give you advantage on an animal handling check just to see if he lets you approach without contention.
Well, that was a natty one, so...
You have advantage.
Well, that was a 12.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to push you away as you get closer. Or rather, he tries to scramble away, but he is on death's door.
Trust me on this. I'm going to help. And I cast Cure Wounds on... Ooh, how bad does he look?
I mean... You don't know the polar bear's HP. I guess I do.
Well, he has white fur. How pink is he?
Pretty pink, dog.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to cast it on a third level.
Whoa, geez.
Yeah.
What's it?
That's going to be 18 total.
Okay. You have stabilized this polar bear.
And so let's see. That's my move. Oh, and to continue my move a little bit, I'm then going to kind of scooch behind big polar bear boy I just stabilized. Or polar bear person. I don't know the gender.
I'm gonna
of the polar
say
bear.
It's not a person.
I mean, it is a polar bear. You're gonna take an attack of opportunity from the bull if you do that. He is in berserker mode, and if you try to like disengage to that level, he's gonna take.
Okay, maybe I'm just gonna hunker down closer to the bear that like, all right. Now okay. You see I'm cool, my dude. And
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up in the order is Clyde, who is going to stand up.
You know what? Just for fun, I'm going to change my glamour weave to look like polar bear fur. So it's like
sure.
Now we're a pack.
What's very up? Cool camouflage.
I'm not trying to blend in. I'm connecting with the polar bear of like, see what's happening here? So we're cool, right?
Okay. So Clyde's turn. He is going to stand up as his move action, and he is going to reload and fire his envenomed crossbow. The first bolt he is going to launch at the Auroch that just charged into him. That's a hit, and just going to nail that beast for 6 points of damage, he looks kind of woozy. The Auroch does. The Auroch is now kind of like drifting back and forth as it is envenomed. The other shot is going to come at you, Amber. That's going to be 16 versus AC.
Yep, that hits.
You are going to take...
But wait!
Ah!
Not so quickly! Because I... You see, Griffin, in Dungeons & Dragons, there are four different kinds of actions.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to try to deflect missiles.
Okay, it ended up being a 15 damage, right? And you get to roll a 1d10 plus 7 to reduce that. You got to spend a key point to pull this off, right? No, I guess you just
I have
do
to spend
it.
A key point to throw it back at you.
Okay, but that's only if you reduce the damage to 0. So if you roll an 8 or more... You catch it, which would be really cool.
Would be awesome.
It would be really cool.
It's a 4. 5 Sorry, 4 plus 7, 11. So I reduce it by 11 points.
You do also still have Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. What's that, 1d6?
1d8.
1d8.
What do I need?
3 or more.
4!
Yeah!
all right. Yeah, you catch the Envenom crossbow bolt out of the air.
Yeah, and I am going to go ahead and use that key point to chuck it right back at his dumbass.
Okay. Does it give you, let's see.
Just a ranged attack with a monk weapon. I don't think I have any equipped. Oh, no. It's right here in my thing.
You have a dart.
20. A natural 20.
You are fucking kidding me.
No, yes.
It's a natural 20. This is the coolest thing she's ever done.
Then you see a bolt launch out. Not a bolt. A big fucking harpoon launch out and embed itself into the Auroch. And after seeing that, you just see in a flash, he turns that big ass crossbow back towards you and launches out a bolt, and you catch it right in front of your face. Do you want it to? What happens next?
I feel like she catches it in front of her face and she just flicks her wrist and flicks the end around, and with very little pomp or circumstance, just chucks it right back at him.
Okay, roll damage. Oh, it's nat 20, so it's going to be double dice damage.
Yeah, that's 12 points.
Okay.
Plus venom.
I mean, that 2d6 was... It goes through his chest.
What?
And he looks down at the stick that is poking out of the front of him, and he looks back up at you and has a moment of calm where he looks at the polar bear... And he kind of like, and then falls down to his knees and then drapes over dead.
That's one.
That's one. next in the order is the Auroch. The Auroch is just going to try and like get back into the hutch and is like almost like absent-mindedly walking toward the other Auroch and is going to take an attack of opportunity from the bull. But the bull is like so pissed off that... Oh, wait, no, the bull still has advantage on all of its attack rolls. No, it misses both
attacks.
So
who's dead?
The Clyde.
Clyde, okay, good.
the bull sort of... drunkenly tramples back into the room and makes it over to its partner, and then it sort of just drops down to its knees and kind of like rests its head on them. And they don't appear to be dying, but they are like knocked out from the poison. Let's hop back over to you, Zooks. You've been what is your angle for this conversation where you are trying to convince them that you shouldn't kill your four-armed friend?
Zooks is going to make them an offer. Whether it's legit or not will probably depend on the kindness of the dungeon master.
Oh, a good place to be.
And Zooks communicates to whatever this Blink Shark's name is.
Blinky.
And says that, what if I were to offer you a way to make up for those two deaths that you claim my friend is responsible for? What if I were to make up for that and more? Would you release this vendetta and maybe even take me to her?
The one shark that has been sort of the taking point here looks confused when you say the word vendetta, and it shakes its head. And you hear that translated voice say, is not vendetta. Is not vendetta. We try to save our world from boiling. And doing that means killing four-armed woman person before she kills our whole world. Is not revenge. Is not revenge. Has not happened yet.
Well, maybe I can replenish that world and then have a conversation with her to make her promise to never boil an ocean again. What do you think?
world not need replenishing, world still alive. It's confusing.
You're down to three entities. You're down to three shards. Mm,
we are heroes and sacrifices. We will stop much dying, but will not be not dead to swim in it. But they seem to think about what you said about replenishing, though, and the one swims back to the other two, and they confer for a while, and then it swims back to you and says, you know other stick people like you, but empty? Not like you. The stick people like you, but not like you, is empty. You know them?
Yes. I know some, but yes, I do know of some. They aren't born yet, but they're coming.
It is not born yet. Is not color? Empty. Empty of color, stick people?
Oh, I feel like I'm in that movie where they had to interpret all the alien signs.
I think it's called Signs.
Mars Attacks.
Yeah, that was it.
No, sorry, Mars Swamps.
Yeah, there it is.
They say, empty stick people like you, not like you, they bring terrible four-armed woman person to our home and hang her in sky like Big Star and see, you know, we say, sea boils, all death. You stop empty stick people, four-armed woman person no come to home, all good.
I will keep her from doing whatever it is you think she's going to do, I'm guessing, and I will convince her. No, I will tell you what. I will promise you that she will not do what you say she will. I make you a solemn promise.
What is promise?
We will make an exchange. I will show my goodwill that I will keep this bargain between us.
You will kill empty stick people like you, not like you, or you will kill four-armed woman person who rides with you on Iron Whale, or we will do both. Those are options. Agreement?
So I have to pick one of those?
Other option, we eat you, hurt mouth on sticks. Not good. Not very good. And then eat four-armed woman person. Maybe eat empty stick people like you, not like you. Not ideal. Stick people very sharp.
If I kill the white stick people.
Yes. Excellent. Acknowledgement.
If I do that, we're good. We're cool. Right?
We still die as noble sacrifices, but world safe, so very good.
But that does not involve hurting four-arm woman person.
If empty stick people like you, not like you, are dead and cannot hang her in style like Star to boil seas,
that solves everything.
Everything is great.
So we have an accord.
Agreement.
I will keep the white stick people from hanging four-arm woman person in sky to boil off sea.
Like Star, and use violence to do it and make them stop being alive.
Yes. So, are one of you a notary? By any chance?
What
it's
is...
It's actually under the water, so it's a floatery.
Yeah,
there you go.
Ooh!
What is a notary?
Floatery.
What is floatery?
Doesn't matter.
No, Dad.
No,
no, Dad.
No problem.
Explain it to the shark.
Explain notary public.
Please.
Dad.
I will.
I got to say, Dad, as a notary public myself, you need to treat it with a little more seriousness.
I will.
Not really.
I have a solution for
this. I paid $25.
We're under the sea, right? We're under the sea, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. A floatery uses a seal. You know what a seal is.
Delicious.
Yes, a delicious seal. So
a seal on the lips.
That's what a
seal on the lips is more shark on the hips. You know that?
Okay.
It floats forward and nods, and the other two look just as excited as this one did when you start communicating with it. You get the impression you're probably the first thing these guys have communicated with since they set off on whatever mission this is that they are on. And the one floats forward and says, I bite you now, gentle, for moving. Acknowledgement?
Man, I've said that to so many people.
Yeah, but do it in a different place because you kind of, you got a little...
It chomps down right on your torso.
And that's it. That's the spot.
And with a loud pop, you are suddenly back in the cargo bay. Only it is drained out, and you see a very harried looking urchin working on the pumps.
My boy.
And he looks over at you like, what the fuck, man? And the blink shark is also like, what fuck? We're water. And then it blinks and is gone. And you are standing in the cargo bay with urchin.
Where'd you go, dude?
A great big blink shark nest. That's not important. I'll tell you all about it. When we have our, you know that meeting we have afterwards where we all get together and yeah. Anyway, I hold on a second, and I use the cell phone to call Devo.
Okay.
Hello, you're Devo.
Hey.
Yes.
Sorry. It's been nuts here.
Oh, here too. Yes.
The cargo bay is clear. Can you get here?
Well, everything is tilting here and flooding here, so you might have to come to us.
Okay. And I know where that is because I tracked animals.
Yes, I know.
Okay. I tell you what. Leave it to Urchin and me.
Oh, you have Urchin with you?
Yeah, but I'm still thinking that we might be able to pull it off.
Oh, no, tell him I'm not here. Yeah, no, here. Hang up.
Say hi. Just
hang
say
up,
hi.
Hang hey, up, hang up.
Here, and I hand the shell phone to Urchin.
Hi, Devo.
What?
He looks down. He said, I dropped the shell phone. I can't do nothing right. As you all are doing this really cute little scene, a sprite floats up through the moon pool, and it seems to be towing like a small chest that it floats over towards you, and then it lowers down on the floor and releases it. And it kind of like topples over, and you see Amber's belongings fall out of it. And the sprite whistles at you a couple times. And then it floats back down in the moon pool and is gone.
I feel so objectified by that sprite whistling at me. I
don't think it whistles at you like, oh, daddy. It's nice. Saying out loud.
Hey.
So is it just Amber's belongings?
It is. Everybody else left you. You all left your stuff on the ship. Amber was... Right.
Okay. They took all of Amber's when she was got taken to the jungle.
Okay. Urchin.
Yeah.
We have got to be the big heroes.
Oh, yeah.
We have got to save everybody else. I'm heading to the bridge. You stand by for action.
Absolutely. What am I, like, co-captain? Lieutenant?
How about vice assistant?
Corporal?
Vice assistant captain pro tem.
Okay. Does that come with a salary bump or benefits?
It'll almost double what we pay you now.
Oh, boy. So...
Because I love the working man.
Right.
I believe in the working urchin.
Okay.
And so, Zooks runs up to the bridge.
I'm just going to double the readiness penalty that urchin... No.
You can't commit us to Dad's weird ramblings.
I am going to bump it up from 3 to 4, though, because he is going to start eating more food.
That's fair.
All right. Okay, you make it up to the bridge. You're floating in front of a like half melted debris field with like corroded metal and like rebar and other sort of structural shit and sparks just like flying out of it right in front of you. But also that is the direction the animals are in.
So I move through. I start moving towards where the signal is.
Okay.
And I keep moving through.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, I like that.
Dodging the big stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's free floating, how much damage could it do?
That's true.
I mean, does Zooks? I don't know how Zooks would work that math out. I will say, if you look,
Zooks spends his life swimming.
That's
through
fair.
The water.
That's fair. I will say, you saw the Coriolis from the outside. It's a little bit beat up. Which, if you look at the character sheet for the Coriolis, it's at about half hull right now. But also, the Coriolis is a big ship that you all picked for its bigness. So it is, you know, it's a tough old gal.
And don't we have a repair sprite?
No. That was on the Dreams of Deborah, which you famously exploded episodes ago.
All right, so he just starts moving through the water, starts moving through the debris, trying to find his friends.
You see that sprite again, floating in front of you, and it seems to be kind of like illuminating the way. And you follow it for a while through the wreckage, and then it comes to a big sealed door in a chamber that, like, you did not see before the ship half exploded, and it starts to pulsate. We're going to jump back over into the fight, and Amber, you have Clyde is dead. The barbarian is in the middle of the room, still sort of in its berserk mode. The bull is knocked out with its other, or the Auroch is knocked out with the other Auroch, and the polar bear is back and healthy.
I'm going to take advantage of the bull's frustration.
Okay.
And punch. Stop me if you've heard this one. Punch it in the head.
Okay. Go ahead and roll with advantage.
11.
Neither of those, actually.
All right. Here comes the second attack.
Okay. And?
19 plus 5. Yes. That one hits.
That one does hit.
All right, that's 7 points of damage.
Okay. This punch makes him stumble back quite a bit. It takes him a minute to kind of come back to his senses. And he tries to shake it off. But he is slowing down a little bit. Is that it?
Let me check my key. Yeah, I'm going to hold off.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to drop that flurry of blows.
Yeah.
Okay. That will be four more attack rolls for...
Yeah, because let's just power through advantage. These, okay?
Yeah.
17 plus 5, yes. 22.
So the first one hits.
And then this 21.
Yeah, so that's the first one hits.
Well, no. I knew that hit, so that was the first roll of the second attack.
When you roll advantage, you rolled the dice two times.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. There, 16.
Yeah, that also hits.
Or actually 22.
Yeah, good. Two good ones.
Two good ones. Let's see that damage. 8. Wow, 2 8s.
God almighty.
Feels good. Feels good.
16 points of damage. God, I'm so mad at this dude. I punched him the hardest I've ever punched anybody twice. Oof.
Yeah, he is looking very, very rough. He takes a moment to stand up, and it looks like he takes a big, deep breath, like he's about to start monologuing, and then you hear, and a polar bear crashes into him with its claws. I guess its claws are always bared.
Yeah, but this time it's B-E-A-R-E-D.
Mm-hmm, that's very good. And that's going to do 12 points of damage against him. He goes down on his knees, but he is still standing. Well, he's not standing. He is not quite dead. And he's going to take one last desperate. He loses his rage. He's going to take one last swing at the Auroch, his quarry. He buries his axe in the Auroch. In its hind leg, and you hear it cry out, and the other Auroch starts to stand to its feet and looks quite pissed off. Devo, it is your turn.
So he's down on his knees. Is that still true?
Yeah.
Devo is going to approach him. Eyes glowing blue. He is going to begin to whisper. But first he says... So you think you're a big man, huh? With your axe and your mask and you attack these animals? Even now, they stand over there doing nothing and you attack. I'll show you what it's like to be a defenseless creature and be attacked. And I'm going to hit him with Dissonant Whispers, level 2.
Ooh.
Which is 4d6 damage.
Dang. He makes a wisdom saving throw.
Man, I miss magic. It's so cool. You just do it and everybody's upset.
He's going to make a wisdom saving throw, yes.
11?
No. So okay. He gets hit by 15 points of damage.
He grabs his mask, like, around his horns and starts to just kind of tremble. And he falls down face first in the mud and is, like, trembling in fear. And you see bubbles kind of popping up as he gasps for breath face down in the mud. And then the bubbles stop and he is still because he died.
Oh, okay.
And you all are...
He's still standing.
Yeah. He's still standing.
That's the amazing thing.
A proud warrior.
Though he may lie on the ground
in his heart,
water,
he still stands.
He still stands.
Yeah. It's quiet for a minute as the animals kind of like rise to their feet. You all are out of initiative now. One of the aurochs starts like licking the other one's wound. It seems like that one got like a bump of adrenaline from being attacked, so he is starting to get back to his feet. And the animals start to surround the two of you, and it's a beautiful little circle of life. And then the ship groans, and in the distance, you all see from one angle what Zook sees from another angle, which is that sprite blinks faster and faster, and then it goes off like thermite and just dissolves the wall in front of you, and you see the jungle now, which starts to very quickly fill up with water. And you two can see, like, sort of looking down the slope of the jungle, the Coriolis just sort of bob up and down in the water.
Oh. Let's go. Time to boogie.
We gotta get these animals on the ship.
Yes, I agree. Come on.
They're like, there's no way we could get the technology they use to shrink them, right? That's like not available to us.
You know, that's an interesting concept because they would have, I'm going to say, yeah. Like if they have that technology, it would be wild for them to send you to get these animals without giving you that technology,
yeah.
Right?
For them to but be maybe like, hey, you like bring Pokemon. That polar bear back with you, right?
Yeah, maybe it is Pokemon rules, though, where they have to be willing to get into them in order for them to work. But yeah, I mean, you definitely have the containment orbs. They probably sent you like one for each pair of animals. So
now,
yeah.
Here's this is also, I'm so proud of myself, Griffin, something we never do. I also am going to real quick, just a real quick search of Clyde and the Bull. Just to, like, see if there's any, like, cool shit or, like, Lux.
You know why we never do this? Because it's not narratively fun for Griffin to be like, he's got $8 and a photo
of
his dog.
But I'm still 5 Lux in debt. I need some shit to sell.
Yeah. Okay. The Great Axe is there, right? The bull had it. The mask seems to be, like, super glued to his face. You can't seem to find any way to get it off. But the Great Axe, you could definitely... grab. It is a stupid weapon. Like, it is so heavy and imbalanced. Like, it is, this was a weapon that a rich asshole saw and was like, that's a cool axe. I'm gonna use that to slaughter cattle and feel like a real big man. But, like, it's not actually a very effective weapon.
Yeah.
It is fancy enough, though. So, yeah, you can throw that in your inventory and try and hawk that later.
What about that harpoon gun?
The harpoon gun, yeah. You could grab that harpoon gun, too. It is a big... You can't really quite assess it, but it is just as fancy as the Great Axe is and seem to be capable of, you know, of some quick shots.
What about any wristwatches or diamond
Yeah, one of them
cufflinks?
Has on, like, weirdly, a bunch of... there's some emerald earrings and a big golden potion. No, it's...
I didn't expect that.
It's really just those two things.
Okay, I grabbed those.
Clyde had a jerkin on, but now it's got a big hole in it.
I got
like
a jerkin
it.
On.
Okay. Now, would you say now there's a hole in it, he's got a jerkin off?
Oh, the door was open and he stepped through.
I wish it wasn't. Okay, you all gather up the animals inside of their containment units and loot these corpses. The ship is starting to tilt pretty quick now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you have a pretty steep and getting steeper run toward the Coriolis.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Make an athletics check, both of you.
11 for me.
7 plus 2, a 9 for me.
Okay.
Did they shrink all the animals?
They did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you stumble and fall, trying to just, like, navigate this jungle. First of all, the terrain has, like, started to just kind of slough away. It's also very muddy and wet in here. This jungle was not meant to exist at a sort of 45-degree angle.
What jungle
angle.
Is?
And it is getting much, much steeper to the point where you kind of have to hold on so that you don't fall down the jungle toward the water below. It's not quite 90 degrees yet, but because the terrain was just a little bit too difficult, you guys are still a good 100 feet away from the Coriolis when you lose
Wait,
your
is the Coriolis above us or below us?
Below you. The water is rising. Imagine the Titanic sinking.
Yeah.
Right? And you all are sort of on that top level, and this chamber is filling up with water very, very quickly, and the ship is tilting very quickly.
Oh!
You can shell phone him.
I got something. Oh! I've got something!
Kidney stone? What are you doing?
Zooks can see him, right?
Sure, yeah.
And they're just kind of hanging on, and they've got all those animals?
Yeah.
He uses the blink bay.
Okay.
To bring him on board the ship.
The blink bay can only recall things that have blinked, but you can try and blink out to them and grab them and bring them aboard.
Full blown nightcrawler.
I would let you roll for that.
Blink. Okay. So like blink so that I'm hovering in midair.
And grab them in the air and then blink back with them.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Be a
All
good
right.
roll, I bet. It's going
what
to
am
be
I roll?
Roll.
Okay, let me think. Here's how we're going to do this. You are aiming yourself toward the distance. So I'm going to let you just roll your crossbow attack, and I'm gonna give you your target. I want you to hit, if you hit a 17, you will hit exactly where they are and have no further complications. So
I love this game.
Yeah, roll your d20 plus 8. That's if it goes good. That's best case scenario. Yeah.
You don't have another bardic inspiration on you, do you?
You can't hear me from there.
Yeah, not from that distance.
You okay. got it though.
Here we go. So it wouldn't work over the shell phone? Okay. Oh Lord, here we go. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come.
Now.
That's a 3 plus 8, which is short of the goal. Or rather, you know what it is? It's quite far of the goal. You go way past them, and now you are free falling back down toward the Coriolis. Devo and Amber, you see Zooks just suddenly beam up and appear like 30 feet above you and then start plummeting back downward. What do you do?
Reach out to catch him?
Wait, what's he doing? So what am I seeing?
You see Zooks in free fall, falling toward you all, just off the floor of the jungle now, falling downward back toward the Coriolis. This whole room is...
Fuck, 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 fuck. All right, Amber reaches into her bag, drops the Auroch out of its ball, and chucks the ball at Zooks.
The Auroch will fall?
We're standing on something.
I mean, you guys are like holding on to tree branches and shit to avoid. This room is at a 90 degree angle now. It is facing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, that was my idea. Griffin said it wasn't cool enough, so we got.
No, I said it.
Different.
No, if you can tell me how to let a bowl out of a Pokeball, and
so
not
that
just
way
immediately
when
Zooks plummet
hits
to its
the ground.
Do I have any extras?
Hmm.
They certainly would have given me an extra, right?
You know what? Yes, because they gave you enough to bring back all the animals, and all the animals are not alive.
Great. I'm going to chuck my extra Pokeball with a bit of fishing line tied to it.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, wait, before Amber throws, just Diva's like, please do not miss. And that's my last word of inspiration.
Very inspiring.
I did say please.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Make a range attack roll at Zooks. I'm not going to give you anything special for this. You got to fucking hit him.
Let me do my deflect missiles attack, I guess.
You have a dart.
I just don't have it equipped.
Well, click the button. This is a range attack. Click the button in your inventory.
It's a real momentum killer.
To click one button?
I just click two to go to the town.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, okay.
You got to hit his AC, too.
What?
Yeah.
Why? He's willing.
Just to hit his body with this Pokeball you're throwing at him. As he's falling. Yeah, so far, it's kind of, you just have to roll a 9 or more.
It's 13.
13!
What's your AC, Zooks? Can you confirm that for me?
14.
Oh, my Bardic Inspiration. Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
So just don't roll as, you have to roll a 1 or more.
Is it D8?
Yes. Just don't roll a 0.
I know you were joking.
No.
Is there a 0?
5.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, good.
The Pokeball hits Zooks in midair. Zooks, are you willing to get in the Pokeball?
I think, how does Oblivious?
Yeah, yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's neutral enough.
Yeah.
Then you see a flash of light, and Zooks, all of a sudden, you're standing in, let me think. The rhinos are the ones that went extinct, sadly, so you're in a sort of savanna type situation all of a sudden, and you're like in there like, what the fuck's going on? And then you're immediately kind of just like thrown all around as this Pokeball in the fishing line like then sort of swings downward and bonks into the jungle floor. And Devo and Amber, you see it shake once and then twice and then three times.
Yes!
And it clicks and stands still.
Satisfying
as hell. Caught a wild Zooks. Okay, you got...
And she catches it in the air and she said, yep. Gotta catch all of them in balls.
Okay, at this point, the water, I think, has risen to the point where you could just, like, jump down toward the ship if you...
I just simply, boop, and I step onto it, and I'm then I walk into the ship.
Yeah, it rises to me.
Yeah.
Essentially, is what happens. And Urchin actually opens up the top hatch, and he's like, where's Zooks? Because he vanished again. He's been doing that a lot today.
Oh, he's in that ball. Don't worry. It's fine, I guess.
Can I keep him?
No.
I will feed him.
Okay.
I will feed him and take him on walkies for pieces.
You promise? Because I do not want to be responsible for this.
Hey,
come on, Dave.
Oh, we should go, too, before this whole place falls over and explodes.
Oh, right, yes. right. Yeah. Smash cut to the Coriolis just, like, blasting out of the glass dome ceiling of the jungle as the rest of the facility.
Devo has his arm around the polar bear. The polar bear has his arm around Devo, and they're both just laughing and having a Coca-Cola.
Laughing, having a great time. Actually, you all are immediately intercepted by the Vegas Baby, who you did call for reinforcement as it shows up a little bit too late to be useful. And they bring you in with their tractor beam, so to speak, into the loading bay. And as you all sort of raise up into the docking bay here, a fleet of engineers rush to get to work on repairs for the Coriolis. And there is a knock at the door, and you hear Kodira, and she says, "Permission to come aboard?"
Yeah, come on in.
Okay.
We let you out of the ball, though.
Okay.
Okay, she comes aboard the Coriolis alongside the curator. He immediately, like, sees the orbs and starts looking at them just to, like, do an inventory. And you see him looking down at you, Zooks, inside of your orb. And he's like, I do not remember this. Oh, do you want out?
Yes, please.
Okay, he pops open the thing and lets you out. And he says, so the rhinos did not... Oh, dear. Okay.
If it makes any difference, they were dead before they got there. I saw them mounted in one of the rooms.
It was too late for them. But there is good news. Cool. The serval is pregnant.
Oh, that is delightful. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all so much. Your payment, you will receive it promptly. Excellent work.
You have no reason to listen to me, and I totally understand this. But if I may, just a suggestion. You may want to consider allowing the animals from time to time to have some a chance to stretch their legs or, you know, to get out of the balls.
Bigger balls, I understand.
No, yes. No. Like, let them
much
out.
Much super big.
If it helps at all, you could have showings where the children of Founders Wake could see.
And play with the polar bears. Yes, this is an excellent idea with no flaws whatsoever. No, I will research a more ethical solution. Thank you.
Thank you.
And he scoops them all up and leaves. And the whole time, like, Kodira has been, like, debriefing. She says, so there was a... What happened?
So what I know, and fill in the blanks, please, Amber and Zooks, but Aloysius Supreme... was part of a group called Crescendo, and he helped them set up something where they stole the animals and then people were hunting them so that they could feel the thrill of snuffing out the last of an animal. It was pretty shitty. There was a dude there named Tolliver. I don't know if that's his real name. Who was the auctioneer that we dealt with before. He fucking sucked.
Hey, Amber, roll a... Roll a history check.
All right. 22.
That name rings a bell for you because you have only known one Tolliver in your long life. It's a name you have not heard in a long time, but it hits you all of a sudden that the only Tolliver you've ever known, the only person that ever had that name, was Declan Cern's little boy. And as you realize that, the biggest baby shakes and rumbles, and all of the chaperones, including Kodira, you see this single red eye illuminate on their foreheads, the sort of sign of Coda's influence. And she looks pretty freaked out when that happens, and a chaperone runs up and whispers something to her, and she gasps. And she looks at you, Devo. And she is lost for words for a second, and she says, "We need to go home right now. Devo, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The hand of guidance is dead."
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.